B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
At 3:30, it is the Mike Mussnello Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yes, we are doing the show live from the studio on The Fanatic and also NBC Sports of Philadelphia. In a minute, we're going to talk to Taryn Hatcher of NBC Sports Philly. But let's get an update on our Twitter poll. Natalie working at home today.
Yes.
Nat.
Hello,
it's
Mike.
Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Living on the, you still got the PJs on?
Yeah, I have I wore my special giraffe PJs today.
Very nice. It must be nice. So tell us about the Twitter poll update.
Okay, we have over 1,000 votes on today's poll. Did you follow directions and stay in this weekend as much as you could? 92% say yes, 8% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. All right, as part of our Get to Know Them Better series, we still haven't come up with a classic name for this,
but that's a good,
Get
good
to
name.
Know Them Better series, yeah. NBC Sports Philadelphia personalities, since we are on the network and we are currently the only live show on the network. So let's bring in our next Get to Know Them Better. She covers the Flyers, of course, on the road with the Flyers, ice line reporter for the Flyers. You're always down on the ice. Her name, of course, is Taryn Hatcher. Taryn, how are you doing today?
You know, I'm still in quarantine, Mike. How are you?
Well, we are in quarantine, and it's tough for all you guys to try to report when you can't get out to report. So we feel you. But let's talk about what exactly you're doing now without hockey.
Other than crying that Rutgers was going to make the NCAA tournament and then absolutely just got, the worst hand, as we all have dealt to them in terms of the way all the shaked out.
Here comes the there's the tournament. I don't know. You and Tyrone were all excited about that prospect. I'm not sure it was going to happen. So maybe it saved you some disappointment. But continue. I'm sorry.
I will defend them to the end, Mike.
I know
will
you will.
Defend them to the end. No, actually, my mom helped me dig out a puzzle that I think I last saw in the year 2001 when maybe I was 7. And it has no box, and it has 3 colors, and it's at least 1,000 pieces, and it's the only thing giving me purpose right now. So I'm just doing this puzzle, watching Flyers reruns.
That is so cute doing the kid puzzle. I like it. That's good work.
It's definitely not a kid puzzle. It's made for some adult that just.
It's one of those 1,000 piece deals, huh? Let me ask you a question. Now that your intellectual capacity has grown through the years from those years, do you find it easier to do the puzzle than you did when you were 7?
Well, I loved them when I was younger. My parents would buy me hard ones because I loved them, because I'm stubborn, so I'll just keep going and going and going. But it's I think my boyfriend thinks I'm neglecting him because if he's over and I'm doing it, I can't do anything but the puzzle. I can't watch TV shows or movies or do anything. So I'm trying not to push through this one because once this is over, I have absolutely nothing left to do.
Yeah, I get you, but it's not bad to be focused on something. It passes the time. Now, let's talk a little bit about your background. Of course, you're Delray, New Jersey, so local, mm-hmm. local gal, and Rutgers University as well. Proud Rutgers U graduate. Now, were you a soccer player there?
No. So I was a soccer player my whole life. When I was 17, blew my knee out, and I said, Mom, Dad, I'm going to go to state school. And, I always wanted – the thing was I loved soccer, and it was – I really wanted to play in college, but I my whole life wanted to be a sports broadcaster. And I'd seen so many of my friends play D1. A lot of the girls I grew up with playing played D1, and they were all a year ahead of me because I'm at the very end of 1992. So all the girls I played with were 92ers and went to school before me. And – they all said, this is a job. If you're going to do this, it's your whole life. And I said, I want to be a sports broadcaster. I want that to be my life. And my parents were, for some reason, very supportive of that very, unique dream. And so then I turned all my focus to that and went all in on that. And luckily, I'm here now.
I read something where you wanted to be a sports reporter when you were 10. Now tell me how that happened.
My dad really my brother loved hockey. My dad played college basketball. He wanted me to play college basketball, and he wanted my brother to play hockey as much as he loved it. And so we grew up watching a ton of Flyers hockey and a ton of college basketball in the house. And I remember watching, I think it was a Duke UNC game, but I was in like fourth grade, and it was at Cameron Indoor, and I was like, oh my gosh, I would do anything to be there. And my dad, and then a reporter came on the screen, and my dad said, can you imagine getting paid to be there? And I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. And then it just clicked in my mind, like, that's what I want to do. And like I said, with the puzzle thing, I'm stubborn. And so I just never changed my mind. And again, luckily for me, it couldn't have worked out any better.
It's working out fine for you. We're talking to Taryn Hatcher. Now, you started out, at, I see it at Rutgers, with their television network. It's called Our Vision.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yep. So you start doing that in college. And, you know, yep. It's funny, Taryn, because my vision for R is very cloudy during football season. I had to think, I'm sorry, I had to throw that in there. Yeah, I know, I get the boost for that. But that's a good starting, it's a good starting ground, and that led to a couple things, led to the Big Ten Network. So tell me how you got there.
Yeah, so that was, you know, I feel like we all have these stories in broadcasting where it's like sliding doors moments and opportunity and preparation meet each other and all that stuff. It was literally Rutgers had just moved into the Big Ten. And they had a student run network, and then they also had kind of a void, I think, in terms of talent that they had in the area of Rutgers that were available to do some basketball games. So I started out at Our Vision, like you mentioned, and then I started doing stuff for their student run network, and then literally just one of their people in charge of talent saw me doing something on the student network and said, do you want to come up and do some Rutgers women's basketball games? And Rutgers women's basketball has been and continues to be phenomenal. And I was like, yeah, absolutely, I'll do that. And they said, we can't pay you much. And let me tell you, it paid enough that I thought I was real rich in college. Yeah. Like I could afford to eat and go out and do stuff with my friends. And so I was like, yeah, absolutely. And then I did that for a handful of games, and then, you know, graduated, was off to Hawaii, next thing I knew.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes. So, now tell me about the Hawaii thing, because that's a major step right out of college, going to Hawaii, and you have to say goodbye to your family. Jersey's a long way from Hawaii. Yeah. So, take me through that.
Well, it was like a very mundane story. It was, so I was also a political science major in college, and I had to write this long capstone thesis paper, and I was just like, needed a break. Called my parents because I needed help moving stuff home. And my dad, you know, as supportive as my parents are, they're like very logical people. And they said, if you're moving home, you're getting a job and you're paying rent. Like, that's how this is going to go. You need to get a real, you can't just freelance and do sideline jobs. You got to get a career. And I said, you know what, Dad, I'll apply for jobs right now. And I just went on a couple websites and sent out a reel that I had made from like nothing, and applied to Green Bay, Wisconsin, a tiny town in Missouri, and Honolulu, Hawaii. And Hawaii News Now contacted me like the next day. And I hadn't told my parents I applied. And then all of a sudden I had to like call my mom, and I was like, mom, I got a call from Hawaii and they want me to fly out and do an audition. and I graduated a semester early. So she was like, well, can you wait until after Christmas? Because my birthday is Christmas Eve, and then we spend Christmas together, and then can you fly out after that? And I said, yeah, but they want a parent to come with me because I was 21. And they wanted someone to advise me on my contract. And I was like, yeah, could your dad come? And my dad was like, I can't go. I didn't plan a Hawaii trip into my schedule. And I flew out there, and I got the job, and then I moved out there a couple weeks after that. It was very quick, and they took a real leap of faith hiring me. But
wow, that's a fairly big market to start with in Honolulu. So what were you covering in Hawaii?
Oh, man, a lot. It was when I moved out there, we would do, so there's PGA Tour stops out there. There's an LPGA Tour stop out there. Pro Bowl was still out there while I was there. I moved out there right after Marcus Mariota had won the Heisman and before he got drafted. So that was, you know, huge because he was, you know, he was one of the biggest topics in college football in the country at that point in time. And Hawaii is so proud and so, they take so much pride in their athletes and the people they produce. And he's such a great example of what type of person comes out of Hawaii, I feel like. So they were so, so proud of him. So that was massive. And then Norm Chow was still there when I was there, and University of Hawaii football was struggling, and then they fired him, and then they hired Nick Rolovich, and there was all kinds of things happening the whole time I was out there. We were covering Colton Wong, and anybody who goes through UH, we would follow their career. DeForest Buckner, we were covering when he got drafted, you know. And then every single Sunday, I mean, I say this, oh, to Tuatagovailoa's career, mm-hmm. I should mention that, yeah. Because that was, covering him was one of the most fascinating studies in college football and high school college recruitment, and it was very, very interesting. So there was a lot. People always ask, like, what's going on out there? And it's like, no, there's yeah. plenty, trust me.
Very prideful, anything connected to Hawaii. So you left Paradise to come back here, mm-hmm. NBC Sports Philly, and you find yourself as the hockey reporter now. And I know you've done some anchoring, but you seem like you enjoy being on the scene. So do you favor that more than you would favor just anchoring in a studio?
Yeah, for sure. For sure at this point in my career, yeah. I've always, it's funny because I can remember being an intern and saying, you know, my dream job would to be like a beat reporter with a team, because I feel like you really get to know the athletes and you can very accurately tell their story versus, you know, sometimes when you're anchoring, you're getting it from, you know, you're talking to the reporter who talked to the player, you know. Mm-hmm. And I liked to be at the source of things. I also just love hockey, and I think it's the best sport to watch in person. And to get to watch every single game in person and at ice level is so much fun. Like, I can't even tell you how grateful I am all the time to do it. But, yeah, I think for now, I definitely prefer it. I'm sure at some point in my life, I'll be like, okay, I need to get off the road. But just being home for these weeks now, I have such an itch to, like, can I just get on a plane and go to an arena and watch a hockey game?
All right, so let's talk quickly about the Flyers, because it was a great year to be a Flyers reporter, and the growth of this team to the point where it's a shame because we're not going to see this playoff run that a lot of people expected. So tell me where you noticed this big transformation, or where they were at the start to a legitimate Stanley Cup contender.
It's so tough to put a finger on where this happened, because I said from the end of last year, before they picked up who they picked up, that I thought this team could work their way into a playoff, given the way they ended last season. Because people forget, I think because of the way the season started and what a hole they were in, they finished last season really, really strong up until they were, you know, mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. And then when they picked up Kevin Hayes and when they picked up Matt Niskanen, and Matt Niskanen became who he is for this team, and Kevin Hayes played up to who they wanted him to be, that was massive, especially because, I mean, people forget that this team is missing forwards that they expected to impact throughout this year, Nolan Patrick and Oscar Lindblom. Like, and God bless them both. I hope they're both doing well in the best of health and getting better and closer to coming back. But that is two huge losses for this team. I don't think anybody could have really seen them surviving that, nonetheless thriving the way they had. But Chuck Fletcher has really found a way to bring in pieces who the bang for their buck is insane, especially when you talk about their depth guys and what they've contributed. And then you add Alain Vigneault to that, and it's this team has such skilled players. And to me, it's almost like they are a car that can drive so quickly. It can go so, so fast. And if you don't have a driver who can handle it, it can quickly kind of go, I think, off course. And when Chuck Fletcher talks about last year, what flaws he saw on the team, he said, I see all these high ceiling guys, but there were just a lot of mistakes. And you have Alain Vigneault, who's an incredibly experienced, calm driver who knows how to keep that car on course and hold players accountable and limit those mistakes so that the floor is higher and the ceiling remains high. I think that's where the success of the team has really, where they've gone to the top of their division and went from a team that maybe makes the playoffs to a team that makes a deep run. So it's definitely, I think, in my opinion, it is a combination of just the ceiling of the talent, the depth pieces they brought in to bolster that talent, and a guy who knows how to make all those pieces really come together in the best way possible.
That's a pretty good description. And again, it's a shame that we may not see this come to fruition this year, because I think a lot of good things were in store. Let me ask you just two quick things before we let you go here. A couple personal tidbits here. Now, is it true that you pushed Tyrone? Is this a fact from? What is this? Did you push a kid in a PAL Sixers basketball game by accident?
No, I didn't push anybody. I faked a kid.
You did what?
Backed the crap out of me.
Wait a minute. Tyrone put something on my screen. Tyrone, what are you talking about?
Just a question. Somebody had mentioned it. Somebody had watched the footage. Asked if she pushed the kid. So I'm just playing the question.
First of all,
did you box somebody out, a little kid, in a basketball game, Taryn?
No.
All right.
First of all, ask my dad if I ever boxed anybody out in my life. And he will tell you I have not, and it disappoints him to this day.
All right. So that's, we got bad info then.
I don't know.
There you go. Tyrone gave me bad info. And the other thing is, you worked at Chickies and Pete's as a waitress?
I did. I was a waitress at the Chickies and Pete's in Bordentown.
That's Ty's turf out there. That's your turf.
Endless crab leg night haunts me to this day. Having to deal with the crowds on endless crab leg night, it haunts me to this day. Everyone should work in the service industry. It will make them more grateful for whatever they do when they're out of it.
Yeah, that is certainly true. Taryn, this has been delightful. Thank you so much. Good luck to you. You know, all you guys are in the same boat here, and hopefully, you know, we get a break in this, and we get out and do what we need to do.
Thank you, guys. Stay safe, everybody.
All right, there's Taryn Hatcher, NBC Sports Philadelphia. So where did you get that little nugget?
She had played in the game and they showed footage, and perhaps a behind-the-scenes person suggested it, and I just was passing it on.
Oh, behind-the-scenes person suggested it?
Perhaps.
She seems like a competitive girl. Maybe she didn't realize it was, you know, just fighting for her turf.
Perhaps.
Like we all do.
Yeah.
All right, 610-632-0975. She sounds great. Mike Mussinelli Show, back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.